We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good drop kick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Start that one again. I am your host, JP John Paul, the two-man power trip. Of course, joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing very good. Can't complain. I know a few weeks ago we were talking about The Undertaker. Today, I want to talk about him again today, but in just a little bit more detail. Now, as far as Undertaker is concerned, you always said one of the greatest draws of all time.
Yeah, I mean, has anybody drawn as much money as he has over the length of time he's been in the business? I don't think so. And, you know, the streak... that was something special. You know, that was really a special thing. You look back and you say, why did they beat him? Because it turned out really not to help Rock or Roman, right? They could have done away not wrestling The Undertaker. It's just amazing how long he lasted and how hard he worked.
So you wouldn't have broken the streak?
No. Why?
I don't know. I guess put somebody else over. Isn't it always designed to get the next guy over?
Well, what's happened? Now the guy that won the streak is... erased.
For now, yeah, it seems like it. But at the time, it felt like it possibly was the right guy to break the streak, no?
Yeah, at the time. But things, I mean, you know, they show those faces of those people that were in horror. If they broke the streak, they shouldn't have broke it twice. Do you know what I mean?
Shouldn't have lost twice, yeah.
Yeah, they should have made a big deal of Brock. Maybe they did, and I forget that Brock beat The Undertaker. But, I mean, I just don't know anybody that drew Flair, maybe, but not as much as The Undertaker drew. Because he was with... you know, all the WrestleManias where Flair wasn't. I mean, he just, it's amazing. And his quality of matches were excellent till the end.
quite a run, quite a career. That's for sure. It is interesting with the streak and Lesnar, because he obviously, right, had to play a part in who he picked to end the streak, right? Or is that all Vince? You would think it was Undertaker as well.
Yeah.
So not only just Vince's decision, Undertaker obviously was okay with it as well.
Yeah, I think that Undertaker said, hey, I'll put him over. I think that might have came even from the Undertaker. You know what I mean? That idea. Yep. So, I mean, who knows?
But you don't really think that Lesnar necessarily should have broke it, because you don't really think anybody should have broke it, I guess.
Well, you got to have a long-range plan if you're going to break that streak. It was like, okay, the streak was broken, but they didn't fall through with anything afterwards, did they?
Well, Lesnar was like champion for an extended period of time, like a long period of time, a few times after that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about The Undertaker. Did they?
Oh, with him? No. Nope. So, he just feuded with Bray Wyatt after that, and then, you know, Roman Reigns and a bunch of other guys after that. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, they should have had something prepared. They could have had Brock and Undertaker for a year somewhere. You know what I mean? Around the, like, it would be like Sting and Flair. It was always a match that drew money and drew ratings. They should have worked something off of that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it is interesting that they didn't really make a feud out of it, per se.
Right, right.
At that point, anyway. Yeah, they didn't really do that.
Yeah, I mean,
You compare that streak to Goldberg streak at all, or no?
Well, you could, but not really, because Goldberg was doing it every week on TV. That's why I'm saying I think they should have taken into consideration before they beat The Undertaker, because that was an attraction for WrestleMania. Let's go and see if the streak continues.
It is very interesting with that. Like, they didn't follow up on it right away, but like a year and a half later, they had like a bit of a, I guess you could say a little bit of a mini feud. Undertaker beat him at SummerSlam 2015, albeit very controversially, because he had tapped out and Lesnar pinned him. Or basically, he pins Lesnar, but he really tapped out. So they made Lesnar look strong. Then they had a Hell in a Cell match, but this was a year and a half later. So I know Taker might have been hurting and things like that, but they didn't capitalize it until way later on. And it's almost as if it was an afterthought at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. That should have been mapped out. If you're going to drop The Undertaker at WrestleMania, this is a huge thing. I think things going passing well. Oh, he lost. Well, brother, what was he, 21-0?
Yeah.
21 years, you went to see him keep his undefeated streak.
Yep.
And then you don't really follow through with the guy that beat him and him in a long-range program.
Yeah, basically a year and a half later, they have two matches. I mean, it definitely was a good feud at that point, but basically it was SummerSlam 2015, Hell in a Cell a little bit after. Undertaker wins one controversially, and then Lesnar finishes him off in Hell in a Cell. But yeah, they didn't really do a big feud, especially, like you said, after this guy just beat the streak, the biggest thing of all time. I mean, you saw those fans' reactions. They were absolutely they were stunned until basically the main event.
They still show it. That one guy with his eyes popping out with the glasses on. I mean,
yeah.
They still show it, so I don't understand. How were they drawing back then? How were the ratings?
Yeah, they were okay. They were kind of in a tailspin for a long time, almost for 20 straight years, until recently with Roman Reigns' title run was the ratings on a downward trend.
Right, Right.
So 2015, they were okay. I mean, they were kind of, when Lesnar would show up, usually would pop something, or Undertaker would pop something, but they were part-timers. They were hardly ever on.
It's just, to me, if Undertaker was a part-timer, you would do more to protect that. I may be wrong.
Yep. So interesting with the streak, because 21-0, right? I mean, he was literally for 21 years. I know there's some injuries in between, because he probably could have even been more so if he wrestled WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 10 wasn't injured, it'd probably be 23-0. But still, I mean, that is a long time for that undefeated streak to last. It almost happened like by accident, right? I mean, I don't think they were ever destined to say, hey, this guy's going to be undefeated at WrestleMania for a long time. Do you?
No, but once after 6 or 7 years, I think they understood what they had. You know?
Yep.
And to me, again, we're just repeating ourselves. They should have had an idea what to get into a big feud. And maybe that could have rekindled their ratings and house shows.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Build off that, because people were shocked. They know he did get injured at WrestleMania 30 when the streak was broken. He did have a concussion, but it wasn't like, you know, he was shelved for an extended period of time. They could have brought him back way, way sooner.
Right, right.
And instead of having him eventually feud with Bray Wyatt, they could have done something with Lesnar a little bit more long term.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the guy that beat you at WrestleMania, you better have a program in mind.
Do you consider Bray Wyatt, like, could have been the next Undertaker as far as that, like, mythical creature? He's got an aura about him. He's got, like, that weird demonic, you know, almost satanic-like ability. Do you think that Bray Wyatt could have been the next Undertaker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That kid was special. That kid was really special.
What do you think hurt him for being the next Undertaker? This, I mean, we're talking way before he passed away. What hurt him at that? Was it injuries that were slowing him down? Because it seemed to be he was on a trajectory and a momentum where he's going to be the next Undertaker. But then it seemed to slow down big time.
Yeah, I think the injuries and then losing to Goldberg so quickly.
That was interesting, yeah.
You know, the kid had it all. The kid had it all. But then he got hurt, and, I mean, I don't think any of us know, but the heart problem, was that from birth that he had? If childhood, or did they know about it, or what?
Seemed like it was from childhood. I'm not sure all the particulars, but it just seemed like it's something that he was living with, if you will.
So I'm just thinking, how did they not find that early in physicals?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But apparently he was, I guess, was sleeping with a CPAP machine or one of those machines to help you sleep. And
yeah,
he just took a nap on the couch, basically, without the machine. He was sitting in his car and then unfortunately just never woke up.
Okay. Yeah, he could have. That could have been a great feud for longevity, too. Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, because they looked like they were friends. You know, when that time that Undertaker leaned over and whispered something in his ear.
Yep.
I think the Undertaker really wanted to make him, you know, could you imagine right now if Wyatt didn't die, you add him to the lineup that they got, my God.
Another main event guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A defibrillator. That's what I meant to say. Defibrillator for Bray. He didn't have it with him.
Okay.
Interesting, though, with Bray and Undertaker, they had that little talk in the ring. It almost seemed like a bit of a passing of the torch finally then, like that he was going to be the next Undertaker. And then, unfortunately, a lot of health issues happened and unfortunately passed away. But that almost felt like years late that they did that. They should have done that, you know, 5 years earlier with him. Because yeah. They did end up feuding, and they did fight at WrestleMania 31. Undertaker wins, but I feel like they almost should have done more of a passing of the torch.
Well, you know what I said? I said that The Undertaker drew more money than anybody in the history of the wrestling business. So you got to be very careful pulling that plug.
Yep.
And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Wyatt out off and on quite a bit?
Yeah, he did have a lot of injury problems, yep. And then a COVID-19 issue, yep.
Yeah.
When you look at Undertaker 2 around that time period, they were making WrestleMania obviously much more of a spectacle, but it was much more of like a they could pop him in and pop his opponent in. Like he wrestled Shane McMahon once, WrestleMania 32, Hell in a Cell match. They're both part-time guys. Cena, when he was a part-time guy, he came in. He actually lost Undertaker in less than 4 minutes. So he just got destroyed by Undertaker. I mean, they really made Taker look strong. I mean, there's some insurance issues with Cena, too, with movies. So they, you know, they didn't want him to get hurt, keeping it short and sweet thing. But still made Undertaker look good. You like that, making it more of like staying away from the storylines and keeping the streak in him contained and like almost like a part-time thing? Because that when that like when it ends, that means like, okay, there's less interest because, okay, The Undertaker, he won at WrestleMania, then it goes away. It's not like the storyline continues. It's almost like just a part-time contained storyline that they fit every year into Mania for a few years.
I don't get this problem about part-timers.
Hey, you dealt with that a lot, WCW, no?
But I don't get the problem with it. Ali, how many times a year did he fight?
Oh, twice probably, yeah, towards the end, yeah.
You know, there's a thin line about too overexposed and not enough exposure. Well, now we're into it. Everybody has to be relevant, I mean. Think about, you know, back in the day, we'll go for entertainment. Elvis Presley never went to Europe, never went out of the country, right? Now it's like, once you see somebody, you see them on everything, right?
Yep.
Big time movie stars are doing commercials on TV now. I mean, yeah. It's more amazing. More. Yeah. So, I mean, if WrestleMania is a special thing, you make The Undertaker a special thing. I think it fits. I don't see the problem. In fact, I think it's better that you get it, you drive people to WrestleMania.
When he fused with Roman at one point, basically WrestleMania 33, and that's the main event. It's not for a title or anything. Roman beats him, and he leaves all his boots, you know, his gloves. I mean, he leaves everything in the ring, and his jacket, and his hat, and everything, like a symbol that his career was over at that point. Obviously, it wasn't. Like you said, you don't like Roman necessarily beating him, and then him looking like he's going to retire and go off into the sunset.
Well, he didn't.
Because after watching The Last Ride, which is an awesome documentary on Peacock, basically a 5-part series Undertaker documentary, it's unbelievably well done. He says, I watched that match back and it sucked and I couldn't retire on that because he was hurt. So he wouldn't retire because he, you know, on that.
Yeah, but he, it's easy for me to say this, but he had to know it wasn't the best match he ever had, right?
Right.
You know, I don't think we're seeing the last of The Undertaker either.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's...
Didn't Austin come back after 19 years?
True. Yeah, you actually, yeah, you're true. And they both, or even The Rock, I mean, they all got wrestling rings in, at their house. So they could train and be ready, and we'd have no idea if they're training right. And getting ready. Like right. Undertaker in the documentary, he built a ring in his shed, and that's how he got in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would video film himself, send it to Vince, and be like, how do I look? And Vince is like, oh, you're getting in shape, pal. You know, like, he was keeping track of him.
Yeah.
So basically, he doesn't, after he beats Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 32, he loses to Reigns at WrestleMania 33. He says he's not done. Vince wants him to look good, wants him to come back. He wrestles at WrestleMania 34, and that's when he destroys John Cena. Do you like that? Do you think that hurts Cena at all, or no?
How could it hurt?
Because basically less than 3 minutes.
How could it hurt Cena? Cena is in Hollywood. Right?
Yep.
He's doing commercials and yep. singing in the commercials. How could it hurt him? Do you think it could?
Nah.
I mean, how many times a year is he going to perform?
And like, yeah, and it felt like 2018, he wanted to perform a little bit more than normal. Still part-time schedule, but he wanted to perform more than he did.
And we don't know if he was injured. Cena to me is the kind of guy that would, you know, tape it up and spit on the knee and let's go. But they didn't want to take a chance of him getting hurt. And maybe they thought The Undertaker needed a big win at that one.
Yeah. Bring him back. It's interesting. Yeah. He later on that year at the Greatest Royal Rumble 2018, he defeated Rusev in a casket match in a little bit under 10 minutes. He did an MSG show. Him, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns defeated Baron Corbin, Elias, and Kevin Owens. So nice little six-man in MSG for the fans. Then he did the Super Show out there the last time they were in Australia. This one was in Melbourne. And obviously they're going back to Australia pretty damn soon here for Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. But Triple H beat Undertaker, almost a 30-minute match there. Then they had a horrible match at Crown Jewel where DX Michaels came out of retirement and Triple H. They defeated Brothers Destruction, Kane, Undertaker, a little bit under 30 minutes as well. So the foreign shows were definitely something that they wanted Undertaker on board for. Kind of makes sense though, right? I mean, one of your biggest names, one of your biggest shows, of course, the princes of Saudi Arabia and Australia. Of course, they want him to be a part of their shows.
Absolutely. I'm sure that the money they were making for Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabia was telling who they wanted on the show.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And it's very interesting because then they want him versus Goldberg in 2019. And as you know, the old story goes, Goldberg almost kind of breaks his neck during the match. The match goes like 8 or 9 minutes, short match, but supposedly it's over 100 degrees. They're both 55 years old. Goldberg got knocked out early. It was like, I don't know, a recipe for disaster. I would actually even made the match even shorter. But, man, I don't know, just a recipe for disaster. Didn't quite work out that well. Undertaker was visibly upset because he obviously almost hurt his neck pretty bad during that match. But it just seemed destined for failure, putting those older guys against each other, 100 degrees. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, for some reason to me, I just didn't think it was going to end up well. Looks good on the poster and on paper, but in 2019, Undertaker and Goldberg, way out of their primes.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that, JP. I think it was that Goldberg gave himself a concussion before he went out, banging his head on the lockers.
Right.
Then the first move he does, he charges and spears the pole, splits his head open.
Yep.
He was in Never Never Land that whole match.
Yeah, what a shame, too, because, I mean, obviously on paper, it's the huge matchup, gigantic matchup.
Yeah, and he's lucky that he didn't really hurt The Undertaker. I saw that bump. That was brutal.
Yeah. So then he's not a part of WrestleMania 35, but he's not injured. They just didn't put him on the show. Kind of an odd move, I think, weird move. But he was a part of Extreme Rules in Philly that year in 2019. So he had two matches, the Super Show against Goldberg, and then he had the Extreme Rules, but no WrestleMania. Him and Roman Reigns defeated McIntyre and Shane McMahon 17 minutes. So weird, right? Now, he's not a part of Mania, but he was healthy enough to wrestle. That was Vince's call. He didn't want to make him a part of Mania anymore.
Yeah, that's a little strange to me.
Some people could call him Mr. WrestleMania, and he wasn't a part of Mania. So you figure he was hurt, and then, nope, a month later he's wrestling, not hurt. Interesting. Weird.
Yeah. I don't know why that would be.
So he goes to Saudi Arabia again. It's not much of a match, but he wins this trophy, this Takei trophy gauntlet weird thing. He didn't really wrestle much in the match. Basically, he pins under AJ Styles. He comes in as like the last participant, and he wins it. But in 2020, this is all leading up to WrestleMania 36. Obviously, COVID hits. They have to do a cinematic match. Undertaker defeated AJ Styles about 18 minutes. And this was, of course, filmed in Florida at like an undisclosed location. They did a boneyard match. Basically, it looked awesome. This was like what the other cinematic matches and other companies kind of aspired to be. And I know they've done cinematic matches before and they've done them after, but this might have been one of the best ones, AJ and Undertaker. I mean, it was literally like an old gunfighter like John Wayne or Clint Eastwood coming out of nowhere, dealing with this young punk and riding off into the sunset. Instead of on a horse, it was on a motorcycle. Very cool stuff.
Right. You better be careful.
Yeah, don't mess with this guy, this old gunslinger.
No, I mean what they're doing.
What do you mean?
Well, they'll have actors. They don't need wrestlers.
Oh, that stuff. Okay.
I mean, once they start, and I understand this, they're on a slippery slope. That union they got, the SAG, they're going to have some problems because that artificial intelligence and the thing with the recognizable faces, they're trying to get a movie star over that's a robot or whatever, you know, AI. Then you're going to get rid of jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Scary, scary stuff. Yeah, but as far as Undertaker AJ, though, I don't know if you've ever seen that. That match was great.
It was great. But you're opening up a door. It's like, okay, you go out now and you go to the store, you buy something, and you don't need a cashier. Right? What happened to that job? It disappeared. It's like you go to the airport. You remember when there used to be all kinds of people behind the counter to check you in?
Yep.
I mean, we're on a slippery slope where I believe if this AI comes to fruition, 50% of all the jobs could be out of business in 5 years.
Sad but true. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, no matter how good it is, there's repercussions on that.
With Undertaker, that's his last match, technically. Last man, you're saying that it might not be his last match, though. He could possibly come back and have another match.
Well,
why not?
Dude, Flair came back, Cena came back, Rock came back, Austin came back. Who hasn't come back?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Even Michaels, years ago, he came back in that horrible tag match. But it is interesting. His Mania run ends with AJ. If you go all the way back to 1991, WrestleMania 7, it starts off with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. So that's a pretty good starting point. Kind of shows you what they thought of him. Like, okay, not that Snuka was great at that point, but he's a nice legendary name to have a like on the mantle or on the resume, like, oh, this guy just beat Snuka. Who else could he beat, kind of thing?
Right, right. Jimmy starting, you know, Jimmy back then, that was, you know, WrestleMania, that's 33 years ago, right? If it was WrestleMania 7.
Yep.
Jimmy still meant something then.
Big time.
Yeah.
And it's cool because Survivor Series 1990 is the technical debut. So it's like, okay, what are they going to do with Undertaker? Like, where do they see him going? Right? I mean, this is just a few months before WrestleMania 7, obviously, but it's like, where do you see him going? They had that egg, the gobbledygooker came out. It's like, oh, God, this is, you know, this is horrible. This is a joke. But then DiBiase had his mystery man. It's like, whoa, who the hell is this guy, this Undertaker guy? He's beating the crap out of Dusty Rhodes. He's destroying Coco Beware. So it's like he's picking up a little bit on the mantle. Like, you know what I mean? He's building speed. Wise, is this building him up slowly, per se?
Yeah, would say that, wouldn't you?
But do you think that they wanted to have the intention that he was going to be like a main eventer at first, or was this just like they're slowly building him to something, they just don't know what it is yet?
I think they were just seeing what he had. I mean, how could they tell he was going to be a main eventer?
But it looked like Vince's like pet project almost, like he wanted this guy to be something.
Oh, I believe that too. I believe that too. So, he had all the makings of a guy to draw money. You know, he was an athlete, bottom line.
I think it's so interesting is Brother Love is technically like his first manager. To me, I mean, that's fine and all, but it just doesn't fit with him. Paul Bearer fit so much better with him. Don't you agree? Don't you think Paul Bearer was much like the much better fit for him as far as looks?
Yeah, it went together. But, you know, this was a gimmick that hadn't been used in a long time or if ever been used, The Undertaker. So they were finding their way, too. You can't blame them about Brother Love. Up until that point, he had a lot of heat on him, right?
Whew, tremendous amount, yeah.
So they were just going that way. They didn't even realize it really didn't fit.
When you look at him and Bearer, like, obviously, they would work together ingeniously well, just like the perfect pairing. I love the name, too, obviously, Paul Bearer, you know, obviously playing off that. Yeah. Did you think in 1880 style Undertaker from like the Wild West, did you ever foresee like, oh, this is going to go places? You know what I mean? Just looking at it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool look.
It was completely different. Completely different. And his matches were excellent.
He did always, at that point, show that he, you know, was a good worker and a good hand. But it was almost like his gimmick almost held him back a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, he probably could have carried Ultimate Warrior during their feud to maybe some better matches. But it was much more about the gimmick. You know what I mean? The Michael Myers thing sitting up and just the way he carried himself. I feel like much later on, he showed that he could carry guys and be a good worker. It felt like early on, it was much more about, like, the gimmick of him being, like, this monster.
Well, that was a very hard gimmick to get over. So what was he supposed to do? You got to get the gimmick over to draw money. So right. Michael Myers setting up that whole thing, rolling his eyes, that was really, really important. And then later on, he became, the American Badass?
Yep.
Completely different gimmick.
Biker Taker, Booger Red, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of showcased that he could have that other gimmick, but also cut really good promos and stuff like that. Really show his true worth, right, his all-around game.
Right.
Jake the Snake Roberts. Great teaming, like at first, thinking that Roberts is some sort of mastermind. He's kind of controlling this guy. Then Undertaker obviously doesn't let Roberts attack Macho Man and basically kind of turns babyface. Well, it doesn't kind of. He turns babyface on Jake and Jake and him feud, and that's his next match at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 8. So then he beats Jake the Snake, and he really is starting to compile some wins here, because that's another, obviously, huge name for WWF, and Jake at that point was one of the biggest heels, doing the Trust Me gimmick, having the Snake bite Macho Man, slapping Elizabeth. I mean, having Undertaker beat him cemented him as a pretty big babyface in the company.
Right, right. It was, Jake is fabulous. I mean, that was a great win for the Undertaker.
Do you like him as a babyface more, or do you think that character is more geared for a heel?
When you're over as much as he is, it's hard to be a heel.
I always felt like, man, it's interesting. How could this guy get over as a babyface? But he did. I mean, he really had like a cult-like following with his fans. I mean, they were really super over to a large degree pretty quickly.
The stronger you are as a heel, the people turn you babyface.
He would feud with Kamala, Giant Gonzalez, Yokozuna, King Kong Bundy, like a lot of monsters. Do you think that he was better feuding with monsters, you know, a la like the Hogan 80 style thing where you're fighting monsters? Or do you think he's better off otherwise in like other feuds and other matches?
Well, it just goes to show you how adept he is at adapting. You know, he could work with anybody. I like him with guys that can move a little bit better, but they all play a role to where he got over. He could work with anybody and have a good match.
Really showcased that when he started feuding with Bret Hart in the mid-90s. Like, wow, this guy is actually a really good wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, it just really kind of like popped. Like, man, I thought this guy was just a monster. He's 6'10", but man, he could move and wrestle like anybody. And then when he wrestled Diesel, WrestleMania 12, he showed again, like, hell, you want me to carry somebody? Not that Diesel needs carrying per se. It's just that you don't know if when two big men wrestle, like how the chemistry is going to be. And he did a hell of a job there. So he really showed what kind of worker he was to me anyway, with feuding with Bret and feuding with Diesel in the mid 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we started talking about, how great a performer he is. It shouldn't shock people. He was an athlete. He was a true athlete. Walking those ropes. I mean, diving over the ropes. He was great.
He does end up feuding with Mankind, Cactus Jack, of course. But when Mankind, Mick Foley, comes to WWF, he didn't quite know where he fit. And, man, did he fit like a glove. That Undertaker feud was awesome. I mean, they're having Buried Alive matches. They're having awesome matches, Survivor Series. They're having Boiler Room Brawls. I mean, they're having all these awesome matches. And it kind of showed another side of the Undertaker where, man, this guy can take a beating and give a beating, and he's an awesome brawler as well. I feel like Mankind brought out for basically maybe like a year or so, actually even longer than that, brought out a different side to Undertaker, and I feel like that really helped Taker in his WWF run. Like, man, this Mankind feud kind of reignited him. So basically WrestleMania 13, he beats Psycho Sid, becomes a world champion, has a nice little run there. Again, feuds with Bret Hart a little bit, then feuds with Shawn Michaels. And that's kind of where, you know, the birth of the Hell in a Cell comes. And Michaels ends up beating him in that match. But, I mean, him and Shawn Michaels had some awesome matches and some awesome chemistry through the years. And that in 1997 was just kind of the start of it. Then if you look at WrestleMania 25, one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, should have been the main event on that show. They try to correct that mistake and have it be the main event of WrestleMania 26. Not as good of a match where Undertaker ends Shawn Michaels' career, but pretty damn good match there as well. I thought WrestleMania 25, I know maybe Meltzer doesn't give 5 stars, but probably should have gotten 5 stars.
Oh, I don't. Oh, whoa. How do people, do you still buy that shit?
Oh, the star, no. Star ratings, no. It's your opinion or their opinion or his opinion. It's how it is.
Yeah.
But Undertaker and Michaels, I mean, if you don't want to say whatever, you just say, hey, they had a perfect match more than a few times. The Hell in a Cell match in 97 actually was a 5-star match, but one of those things where they always had awesome chemistry against each other.
Yeah, I mean, when those guys were on, there was nobody like those guys. And I mean that whole locker room back then.
to have.
It was a great, jambalaya mix, you know. It was a little bit of something for everybody.
And when you look at Michaels and FU 97, obviously gives birth to Kane, which then gives birth to a guy who has basically a 20-plus year run in WWF on top, being Undertaker's brother. So what a perfect gimmick. And obviously those two had awesome matches together. I like the WrestleMania 14 match. I know they had the crazy gimmick, the Inferno match. So Kane is another one of those guys, just had awesome chemistry with Undertaker and kind of builds his own career as being Undertaker's little brother. Perfect gimmick. Great feud.
Yeah.
And I know your favorite writer of all time, Vince Russo, booked a lot of that feud, but he should get credit because that was great. Undertaker, Kane, and everything that went with it. Paul Bearer is his brother. He killed his parents. I mean, everything that rolled in there was great stuff at Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah, it was. It was one of the great feuds of all, you know, time.
The Brothers of Destruction, as they referred.
Yeah.
So Undertaker and Kane, not only is Undertaker having an awesome career, he's able to actually spawn off his character and have guys that are based off of him. Like, that's the ultimate thing, right? I mean, like, he's able to basically create stars with his star power.
Right.
Is that the goal as the booker? Like, hey, who can this guy get over?
Yeah. Not necessarily. That's the goal for every wrestler, too. To make the guy in the match you're with.
Plus, it's good for your pocketbook, too. Hey, I'm going to have a 20-year feud, basically. They team together, too. But you know what I mean? You got a 20-year feud to kind of bank off of and make money off the guy for a long time. The old Hogan thing, I can make money with this guy, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, so they do parlay that into like a bunch of feuds, basically.
Yeah, well, that's part of the job.
It's all about the money, as somebody would say. He fights him again, WrestleMania 14, and he fights him again, WrestleMania 20, when he leaves the biker gimmick and does the return. He's, you know, the return of the dead man, which was over huge at MSG. But then you can see he's starting to get other guys over, like a younger Lesnar he's getting over. Randy Orton was a big part of getting him over. He's helping the next generation of guys, not necessarily have to lose every match, but he's putting guys over. John Cena, he puts over. I mean, there's so many guys along the way. Dave Bautista, he helps get over. He really was kind of the ultimate company guy, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, he was the guy. He was the leader in the locker room, from what I gather.
Big time locker room leader. And he wasn't one of those guys, from what I've interviewed guys and heard interviews and I've talked to guys about it. He's not one of those guys that was like, I'm the leader here. It just happened. He just became the leader.
Right.
The way it should be.
Yeah, it should be organic. And nobody worked as hard as him, I don't think.
What an interesting career for him. Like he debuts, he's a part of the Hogan era. Then he's a part of the new generation era, which was struggling and not doing that good. Obviously, you come around with that little group called the NWO, revitalizes the business. Then he's a part of the Attitude Era, which helps WWF immensely. Then he's part of the Ruthless Aggression Era. Then he's a part of the PG Era. Then he's a part of the Realism Era, whatever you want to call it after that. So he's literally, I mean, he's a part of almost every major era in the WWF for, you know, the last 30-plus years.
Absolutely.
Says a lot about him.
Yep. He's been the cornerstone.
Because longevity in wrestling can be a little tricky. Because you see some guys that stay around a long time, but they kind of maybe meddling in the mid card, or they slowly go down the card. He's right. One of the rare guys who had the longevity where can't say he was never either a part of the main event or a main eventer.
That's what I said when we started this conversation. I said, he's drawn more money over the longest period of time than anybody in the history of the business.
What a run. Yeah. What a run for Undertaker. It would be interesting to see, like you said, if he were to return, Who would you have him face?
Right now?
Yep.
Roman Reigns.
Whoa, again.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, which is Roman going over?
Well, if it's one and done, yeah, Roman got to go over.
When you look at...
In 2 years from now, Roman will be Hollywood.
I think, though, when you look at, like, WrestleMania and TKO, it always seems like they're trying to... well, I mean, they do it anyway. This is WWE. Like, they bring Austin back. I mean, you always kind of raise the stakes and get WrestleMania to be bigger and better than ever. Kind of right. I mean, what if Mr. WrestleMania... I know Michaels kind of took that nickname, but to me, it could be Undertaker. If you want a guy associated with Mania, might be a good idea to have him return in some way, shape, or form, and maybe even wrestle if he could.
Absolutely. Why not?
So let's head towards the plugs and wrap this one up. I know this was Undertaker, basically part two, because we have so much. I mean, we probably do a part three, four, and five and go into all the feuds and stuff with Undertaker. Yeah. There's so much there with him and his career. It's just unbelievable. What a run. But yeah. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @2ManPowerTrip. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
Well, I just came back from Rhode Island. Had a good time with the guys that brought me in. And the book Old School Ring Squared is starting to take off, and I told you it's like a combination of Goodfellas meets wrestling. You can get it on Amazon.com, and it is starting to take off, so that's good.
Awesome, everybody, check out Old School by L.A. Taylor, of course. Kevin, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the 2-Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at 2-Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. 2-Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20.
Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hardworking day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.
Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no P.
Cube. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0, the advanced skin-safe technology, reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped.